Praise the Lord. Today I want to bring us the Word of God, and it's also in line with the current times, what we are going through. And I want to trust the Lord that the Lord is going to use this word this morning to move us closer to Him and to make us to fulfill His will even this end time. Please, I will want you to turn with me to the book of 2 Peter, chapter 3, verses 1 to 13. For 14, we are going to read all through. Please, turn with me to the epistle of 2 Peter, chapter 3. I am going to read from verses 1 to 13. It says, "Beloved, and I write to you this second epistle in the book, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts, and saying, 'Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation.'" Verse 5. "From this they willfully forget that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men." Verse 8. "But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be destroyed, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the Lord, of the day of the Lord, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat." Verse 13. "Nevertheless, we, according to the promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found in him in peace, without spots and blameless." First, from this scripture, we can see that we are in the last days. I want the topic of the message is, what manner of men ought we to be? What manner of a person ought you to be? Verse 11 of the scripture we read says, "Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be?" And it is a question you have to answer for yourself. What manner of person ought you to be, saying that eventually this world and its elements will be wrapped up, will be burned up in fire? God is going to roll it up like a scroll. No matter how beautiful this world is, the edifices we see everywhere, built with millions and some billions of naira, the Bible makes us to know that at the end time, when the day of the Lord comes, they'll be rolled up. But when will that be? It will be at the culmination of the last days. In verse 1, it says, we are in the light, in verse 2, it says, we are in the last days. It says, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and the commandment of us, the holy apostles and the of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days. Verse 3. Today we are not going to look at the attitude of scoffers because it's another message on its own. But we know scoffers will come in the last days. Scoffers will come in the last days. The important thing we need to know now is that we are in the last days. The Bible makes us to know in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 1 that know this, that in the last days there shall be perilous times, just as we are having now. There is a gradual progression of the last days. Pestilences, earthquakes, tsunamis, mountains being moved into the sea, a lot of atrocities that you never could think of so many years before. We are in the last days. The Bible says, For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient, and lots more. And the Bible tells us in the book of Timothy, it says, from such turn away. What manner of men ought you to be in these last days when we are in the perilous times? From such behavior, turn away. From people who do such, turn away. From the world system, turn away. What manner of men, what manner of person ought you to be in these last days? In the book of Daniel chapter 12, we are made to know that in the last days, it says, but you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. He says, many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. We are in the last days. We are in the end time. There is so much increase of knowledge. Travel has increased. Supersonic planes. I read sometime that now a plane is being conceived or maybe already being manufactured that can fly from the US to Britain in less than an hour. We've been looking at 6 hours and all that. With supersonic planes now, planes faster than the speed of sound and the like. So travel is increased. You can go anywhere, super ships on the sea that can carry anything. You have spaceships going even to the outer space. So there is so much of travel and there is so much of knowledge. What manner of men ought we to be in these last days? One thing is sure, finally the end will come. But for you as an individual, for us who are on earth now, the end can come in two ways. Principally now, especially if you're a believer, the end can come in two ways. One, when the individual gives up the ghost and dies, your end has come. The Bible makes us to know that it is given unto us to live once here on earth. And
after we have lived here on earth, the next thing that follows is judgment. So for you, your life now, the end will come for you to make amends, to repent, to do something about the last day, to do something about yourself regarding the day of the Lord. Once you give up the ghost, there is no more amendment. So what manner of person ought you to be before this happens? And if the Lord Jesus Christ comes sooner so that it meets you here on earth, if he comes in the clouds, and as the Bible says, those of us who remain in him and who are alive, after those who are already first in the grave and they are sleeping in Christ Jesus, they are the first ones that will rise up from the grave. The grave will give them up, even if they are buried inside the deepest parts of a rock, of a cave. It will give them up. They will rise first. And they will defy the force of gravity. And they will meet with the Lord in the air. And the Bible makes us to know, then we who remain in him and still alive upon the earth, the Holy Spirit will give us a lifting against the force of gravity, and we will rise up to meet with the Lord. That is an end. If you are on the earth then, and you are not raptured, and you do not, move up and raptured, move up against the force of God to meet with the end of the Lord, in the air, to meet with the Lord in the air, that is an end. You cannot make amends again. The Bible says, except we pay for it with your blood. If now as you are, when things are still a little bit easy, if you won't serve the Lord now, if you won't know the Lord now, if you won't be a Christian now, if you won't give your life to God now, if you won't factor God into your life now, I think the probability is, I would say, zero. Nearly zero. Then, for you to give your life to Christ. Because things will be so difficult. You cannot eat and buy. You cannot buy and sell without bowing down to forces that then will be that are anti-God. So an end has come for you to make an amend to your life so that you can gain God, you can gain the kingdom, you can gain the life after now. What manner of person ought you to be now in this present time? I want to sum it up in what I call the three F's of our attitude. The three F's of the attitude you ought to have now. The three F's of the attitude you need to have now. What manner of men ought you to be? The first one is men of faith. You need to be a person of faith. You need to be an individual that has faith in the Lord in these present perilous times. One, you need faith to remain in the Lord and rapturable. You need faith not to give up. Not to give up onto the world system. Not to give up the Lord.
because of challenges that you face in this present time. You need faith to overcome temptations, to overcome trials, to overcome evil. So much of evil around. Faith to remain rapturable. Faith to remain a Christian. There is the saving faith. Faith when you give your life to Christ and you are saved. And there is the faith that keeps you going as a Christian. The Bible makes us to know in 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 5. He says, we who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation. We who are kept by the power of God through faith for our eventual salvation, for our ultimate salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. We are saved. But our final salvation will be revealed in the last time. Before then, we are kept by the power of God because we have faith in Him. Faith to be raptured. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58 says, therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the Lord's work, because you know your labor is not in vain. Count it all joy. Joy, that's in James. When you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. You need faith to remain in the Lord. Many a times, what we go through in the Lord wants us to lose the assurance of our salvation. Have you ever sat down and thought to yourself, with everything that is going on, I try to be holy. Sometimes, the devil comes with all kinds of doubts and tells you, are you sure you are a Christian? Are you sure you are a Christian? I don't know if you've ever sat down and the thought comes to you and you review your life, say, hey, this kingdom, am I sure I'm a Christian? You examine your life. Or maybe you look at some other Christians that are maybe more fervent and you tell yourself, are we going to the same heaven? You compare your life. You need the assurance of faith, the assurance of salvation that you will make heaven. If you remain in the Lord can help you. He can bolster you up of faith so that you have the assurance that you'll make heaven. Number two, we need faith for God to use you for His will and purpose here on earth. Faith for you to fulfill God's purpose for you here on earth. You need faith to take steps that God will ask you to take in serving Him, in knowing Him better, in relating with Him better. Is God giving you an assignment? Is God directing you to do something for Him? Is God asking you to be a blessing to someone, blessing to a people, blessing to somewhere? Is God asking you go to that person and preach unto him? You need faith to do the will of God, to fulfill the purpose of God for you here on earth. It calls for yieldedness unto God. In Philippians chapter 1 verse 2, it says to live is Christ, to die is gain. That is Apostle Paul speaking. For him in this life, all his life is encapsulated in living for Christ. To live
if he's going to be alive, he will be living for Christ. And if the Lord will take him anytime, it is a gain for him. Can you say the same for yourself? Total yieldedness unto God. You need to have passion for God's kingdom, to expand God's kingdom, to have souls saved, and to deliver the oppressed from captivity. If you are going to do this, you need faith. You must have faith in God to accomplish through you. Faith for God to use you for his will and for his purpose here on earth. Thirdly, you need faith to have God's promises come to pass in your life. While you are still here in this end time, God is giving you promises. Sometimes the promise comes when you are reading the word of God and the word jumps out and becomes rhema to you. God gives you a promise. Sometimes it is in your closet as you pray. God tells you something. God comforts you. God tells you, look, I'm going to do this for you. If you do this, if you do this, if you stay with me, if you obey me, if you abstain from sin, if you do this, God gives you a promise. Brethren, I want you to know that God still gives promises, individual promises, personal promises. Do you have a promise from God? You need to have faith to have God's promises come to pass in your life. When I remember his promises, I shout hallelujah. When I remember his promises, I shout hallelujah. When I remember his promises, I shout hallelujah.
When I remember his promises, I shout hallelujah.
When I remember your promises, I shout hallelujah.
When I remember his promises, I shout hallelujah.
When I remember his promises, I shout hallelujah.
When I remember his promises, I shout hallelujah.
Do you have a promise from the Lord? A promise is God saying, we'll do something for you, I will give you something, but I will. It is coming in the future. You do not have it yet. You need faith for your hope to be kept alive that you will have that promise. You remember that promise God has given to you, and faith wells up in you, and you say, Lord, hallelujah. And your hope is made alive. You need faith to receive from the Lord his promises to you in this end time. James chapter 1 verses 6 to 7 says, but let him ask in faith without doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. You need faith to have God's promises come to pass in your life. I want to ask you, where is your faith? Where is your faith? Is your faith in God? Is it in your maker? Is your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Is your faith in the God of heaven who is able to make all things good unto you? Or is your faith in a pot with some concoction under your bed? Where is your faith? Is your faith in the God of an amulet or a ring in your house or on your body, on your finger? Is that where your faith is? You may be surprised that there are people who call themselves Christians who are into this. They say they are Christians, they believe in the Lord, but their faith is in a ring they put in their hands. Their faith is in a pot with concoction under their bed or something they hang in their house that they pour libation to time and over time again. Where is your faith? Is your faith in rituals you go through at a T-junction, maybe 6 or 4 branch junction, or on a beach beside the ocean, or in a river? Where is your faith? You need to examine yourself. Is your faith in the promise of God said personally to you as you study His word and it becomes rhema to you? I want you to know, dear brethren, that God has not made the Christian life complex. It is the devil that comes to deceive, that wants to make this life look complex. He corrupts it to those who willingly give in to him in order for him to entangle them in a bondage. You must bathe by a certain time. 2 a.m. in the night. You can't bath any other time. And during that time, you have to climb a chair that is red in color. And the like. And you have to drink water that is taken from a certain river, and you have to sweeten it with something. Complex. The devil tries to make the faith complex for us. Where is your faith? Do you just read the Bible and believe it? And let God minister to you and let it become rhema to you? Where is your faith? In this end time, we need to be men of faith who have faith in the written word of God, who just trust God who just trust God simply. We just believe His word. We let Him speak to us in our hearts, and we believe Him and put our trust in Him. And God is faithful. You have faith in Him, He will carry you through. Number 2 of the second F is, we need to be men who fear God. In this end time, perilous time, you need to be a person who fears God. I want you to know that a person has faith does not mean he fears God. There are many people who have faith, but they don't fear God. They believe God is there, He exists. They will quote for you Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6. They will tell you can do all things. In fact, some have given their lives to Christ. There are many, they have given their lives to Christ. But they don't fear God. They don't fear God. They do not depart from evil. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 8 verse 13. Proverbs chapter 8 verse 13 says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverse mouth I hate. I read it again. Proverbs chapter 8 verse 13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance and the evil way, and the perverse mouth I hate. Do you fear God?
in the way you live, do you fear God? Do you fear God? The Bible says, you shall have no other God before me. And this translates to, you shall not serve, you shall not fear any other God but me. And when we look at the world, so much is happening in these last days. God rained down brimstone and fire upon Sodom and Gomorrah. And the location of those two cities today can still not be found because God completely wiped it out. The sins that we are committing, that is in this present world, is much more than what was being done in Sodom and Gomorrah. Even in the church, we need to watch out. Do we fear God? It is not a common thing in the world to have homosexualism, lesbianism, rampant everywhere. Even some churches endorse it in the name of liberty, liberalism. You can do whatsoever it is you want. Or married parties living together is now rampant. Without having any sorrow or remorse doing it. Same-sex marriage, friends with benefits. And some of these are backed up with authority, official authority. Even some churches endorse it. They tell you your body is your body. You can do anything you want with it. People believe in their own bodies, that they can do whatever it is they like with it. Some even worship their bodies. They just adore their body and know how beautiful it is. And they indulge it in whatsoever it wants. Do you fear God? The Bible says if you are a Christian, you are not your own. You are a possession of the Lord. The Bible says you are the temple of the Lord. The Holy Spirit dwells in you. Therefore, you cannot defile the temple. Christians, we need to be careful what manner of persons we ought to be in this perverse world system. We need to be careful. Do you fear the Lord? Do you fear God? Do you just do things with impunity? Do you have allegiance to false gods? In a sense, you respect and give allegiance to someone higher than you and who can bless you. This is a kind of fear for a person. Whom do you fear in this sense? Whom do you fear? Whom do you consult as a divine being so that you can be blessed, so that you can be delivered, or so that you can have direction? Whom do you consult? Whom do you consult? Do you consult God? Do you go on your knees and say, Lord, I'm traveling today, only you can keep me and preserve me. Lord, I'm laying my hands upon this business. I believe your word as it is stated in Psalm 1 verses 1 to 3. That if I trust you, I believe you, you bless the work of my hands. Whom do you consult? When you are studying, you want to write an examination. Whom do you consult? Some go to ritualists, enemies of God, and they put a mark on you so that you will not forget what you have read. Whom do you consult? Or so that you can be the best. Whom do you consult?
when situations that that wants to maul you and devastate your life comes, whom do you consult? Do you go to God, or do you go to the enemies of God? Whom do you respect? Which divine being do you give your allegiance to? The fear of the Lord. In this end time, these last days, we need to be persons who fear the Lord. How do you treat others? In your treatment of others, your neighbors, do you fear God? In your quest for promotion in life, or in exercising authority in the position you have in life, how do you treat others? How do you treat your subordinates that you oversee or that you supervise, those over whom you have authority? Do you treat them wickedly? Do you fear God in treating them? In these days, we've been hearing of sex for marks in the academics, but I want us to know that it is not limited to the academics. Of course, there is sex for promotion in corporate and public governance. There is sex demand for sex for appointment to go for training and the like. Whom do you fear? These are just examples. Some, we kill some people, take their blood and make rituals in order to have money. Whom do you fear? Do you rope others into trouble so that they can get removed and you can step into their position? Whom do you fear? Are you a false witness against some righteous person so that you can benefit or gain something? Whom do you fear? Do you fear God in all the manners of your life? How do you treat your spouse? Do you fear God in the manner in which you treat your spouse? At home and the like. Are you a callous spouse? Do you just treat your spouse with impunity and you don't care whether your spouse is hurt or is not hurt? Do you fear God? Have you turned yourself into a god over your spouse? Do you put your spouse in fear by maltreatment and attempting to bend your spouse by maltreatment, by deprivation, forcing your spouse to do your bidding by maltreatment, by deprivation, by putting your spouse in terrible fear? Do you fear God? Are you a spouse beater? Do you beat your spouse to inflict punishment? Whom do you fear? Some know where the soup is sweet outside the home. They will spend much there outside the home, but they will not provide at the home front. Whom do you fear? Some will take their resources and give it to strange women. Whom do you fear? How many concubines do you have? How many are you servicing? Are you an adulterer or adulteress? Whom do you fear? Whom do you fear? How do you treat your children? Brethren, in these last days, we need to be men who fear God. I want you to know that there is a recompense in the last days. Number 3, we'll be rounding up soon.
of the three F's is forward-looking to make heaven. Forward-looking to make heaven. The first one is we ought to be men of faith. The second one is we need to be men, persons who fear God. The third one is we need to be persons who is forward-looking to make heaven. Non-conformity to the world system. And I would just quickly like to read Hebrews chapter 11, verses 13 to 16. Please open to Hebrews chapter 11 with me. I'll read verses 13 to 16. It says, you haven't a heavenly hope. It says, these all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. Verse 15. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Do you have a heavenly hope? Do you desire a better country, a heavenly country? Are you looking forward to make heaven? These perilous times, this end time, you need to be forward looking to make heaven. Where is your treasure? In heaven or entirely on the earth? In Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 to 10 to 20 says, do not lay up for yourself treasures on the earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. Do you just lay up treasures for yourself on the earth? Do you think of heaven? Is all that occupies your mind just to make money and possessions here on earth? Tithing is good. You can give to the work of God, and it is required of God. In fact, a tithe is not yours. You pay your tithe. And I want you to know that tithe is just a sign, a demonstration by means of a token that you belong unto God, that you love God, and that you are God's possession. When it really comes to giving to God, after some time, we realize that everything about you, you yourself, is owned by God. Very soon, you begin to give more than 10%. You will give your life. You give as it comes, as the Lord lays in your heart. You give out of love. Some will say, don't pay tithe. That it is an Old Testament thing. Jesus Christ made us to know in Matthew 23:23, he said, do justice. He said, don't leave undone justice. Don't leave undone tithing. But at the same time, do justice. I will enjoin you to pay your tithes, and the Lord will bless you for it. But I want you to know that tithing and giving to God's work is not the only way that you can lay up treasures in heaven. There are many ways in addition to that that you can lay up treasures in heaven. When you faithfully endure persecution for the sake of Jesus Christ, you are laying up treasures in heaven. Matthew chapter 15, verses 11 to 12. When you pray in secret, particularly intercessory prayer, you are laying up treasures. When you love your enemies, Matthew chapter 5, 43 to 48, you are laying up treasures in heaven. When you serve the Lord and his people, you are laying up treasures in heaven. When you give to people who are in need, you are laying up treasures in heaven. When you forgive someone who has offended you from the depths of your heart, you are laying up treasures in heaven. Real wealth is obtained by investing in treasures in heaven, and they are associated with living, with loving and living for Jesus Christ. You are to deploy your position, your intellect, your knowledge, your talent to expand God's kingdom, to make the world a better place, to love, to live for others, bring people to the saving knowledge of Christ, and to glorify the name of the Lord. Do you live your life for God because of what He can do for you, or because you want to be with Him? What is the reason for you, you know, serving the Lord? Do you treasure Jesus Christ? Do you treasure Jesus Christ? You have a heavenly hope. You need to examine yourselves as to what kind of person you are and what kind of person you ought to be, knowing that this evil world will be wrapped up and you will give account to your God. What kind of person ought you to be in this end time? I want you to bow down your heads and you pray. Can you speak to the Lord? Please speak to the Lord. I want you to ask for grace to live for Him. Grace to be a person of faith. Ask that the Lord will help your faith. Faith to remain in the Lord. Faith to do the will of God, to be available for Him to use you. Faith to receive promises. Do you fear God? Can you speak to God? Lord, help me to fear you. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Can you ask for grace to hate evil? Whom do you give your allegiance to? How do you treat others? Do you treasure Jesus Christ? Can you pray that the Lord will help you so that you treasure Jesus Christ in your life? Be lifted high, I be lifted high, I. Oh Lord, be lifted high, for you are holy, righteous and worthy. Perhaps you want to give your life to Jesus Christ. You've never known Jesus before. All these things we are talking about cannot be your portion. Faith to remain in Him cannot be your portion. And all that. If you want to give your life to Christ now, I will just pray with you. Please lay your hands upon your chest and say with me, dear Lord Jesus, thank you for coming to this earth to show unto me the way of God the Father, and for dying for me on the cross of Calvary. Dear Lord Jesus, I know I cannot save myself. Lord Jesus, please forgive my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I give my life to you now. Please come and be the captain of my life. Begin to direct my life. Begin to guide my life. Help me to live for you. Help me to obey you in my life. Dear Holy Spirit, please come into my life. The Spirit of Sonship, please come into my life. In Jesus' name. Lord, I pray for as many as have prayed this prayer. Lord, please forgive them and cleanse them from all unrighteousness. Please make them to become your children. Lord, and give them a hope for heaven. Lord, please guide them in this life. Lead them to where they will be hearing your word, and where they will grow as Christians. so that at the end of their lives, they will see you face to face. Thank you, precious Father. Lord, we thank you for today. As we go today, please go with us. Please bless us. Guide us. Lead us to where the pasture is green. Deliver us from the plague and make our life a sweet aroma unto you. Thank you, our Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.